Good morning, everybody. Don't look so worried. Don't look so worried. It'll be all right. Well, as Sharon's already said, the subject that I've been given this morning has been titled, Will Not the Judge of All the Earth Do Right? Now, I found a lot of material on Genesis 18, especially on hospitality and on prayer. But to gain some inspiration on the subject of judgment from this passage in Genesis was, you know, at the start, I'll be honest, quite a bit of a struggle. But I hope that what I have to say this morning will be a help to you in your walk with the Lord Jesus. And also that your understanding of one aspect of God's character. Now, all of us, without doubt, want to be treated fairly, don't we? You may go back to remember how as a child it seemed that your siblings were always favoured over you. Yeah, you scream and cry, it's not fair, but you're pleased to your parents, they just fall on deaf ears. It was the same at school. Teachers had their favourites, didn't they? Teachers' pets. Do you remember those? Teachers' pets. Well, when I was at work, there was a time when some of my colleagues were favoured over myself and others regarding our working hours. And then protests to our managers just fell on deaf ears. His reply as he shrugged his shoulders, life's not fair. So often we're numbed by the news on TV. Only recently, a well-known broadcaster was found guilty for possessing indecent images of children as young as 7. Victims of child abuse were up in arms about the suspended prison sentence he was given because his lust for children fed an industry. And before I became a Christian, I couldn't understand why this God, who Christians believed was all-powerful, didn't simply strike down people who mocked and ridiculed him. Why didn't God judge these people? And I was one who mocked him. I just want to refer back to the song that we sung just now, the How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And in the second verse, behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. And that's really where I was. So let's go through this passage today and discover whether God is indeed the judge of all the earth and that his judgments are right. So we're going to look at Genesis 18, the first 5 verses, so it's verses 1 to 5, and then 16 to 33. So if you'd like to turn to Genesis 18, and we'll look at this together. The first 5 verses of chapter 18 sets the scene, and it is a lesson in hospitality. It prepares us for what ultimately becomes what some today see as God overreacting over the moral state of 5 cities situated on the plain of the River Jordan. These 5 cities are Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboim, and Bela, or Zoar. Sodom is the city we are centering on today in this passage. We'll start with, we'll just read the first 5 verses. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw 3 men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, if I have found favour in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may wash all your feet and rest under this tree. "Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So we start with Abraham sitting at the entrance to his tent, situated near the great trees of Mamre. This is in Hebron, and Hebron is situated today in the south of Israel's west bank. The Lord appeared to him with two angels. We learn that they are angels from the next chapter, chapter 19, verse 1. And the Lord that Abraham addresses is quite probably the pre-incarnate Christ. Abraham offers his guests genuine hospitality, which they accept. And we're reminded here of what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 13, verse 2. "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." So we can all learn from Abraham's example, but hospitality, or sitting around in the sun, is not what I've been asked to speak on today. So we jump now to verses 16 to 33. We'll read it all through in one passage, but I'll refer back to it as I go through. So verse 16. "When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him, for I have chosen him, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him.' Then the Lord said, 'The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know.' The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, 'Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away, and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of earth, all the earth, do right?' The Lord said, 'If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake.' Then Abraham spoke up again, 'Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people?' 'If I find 45 there,' he said, 'I will not destroy it.' Once again he spoke to him, 'What if only 40 are found there?' He said, 'For the sake of 40, I will not do it.' Then he said, 'May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?' He answered, 'I will not do it if I find 30 there.' Abraham said, 'Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?' He said, 'For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it.' Then he said, 'May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?' He answered, 'For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. So there's a lot to remember there, so I will go through it verse by verse. So to start with, we'll look at verses 16 and 17. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" Now Abraham must have heard what the Lord said. I see it as God asking himself, or the two angels, but loud enough for Abraham to hear. He wanted Abraham to know his intention to destroy Sodom. Abraham needed to know what was going to happen and why, so he could pass down to his children and his descendants and their descendants the fate of this city. They had to know that God is not only a God of grace and mercy, but a God of wrath. Jude acknowledges this in verse 7 of his letter. "Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire." Now today we tend to believe that the two cities were destroyed solely because of the homosexuality that was practiced there. But from a thorough reading of the Bible, we learn that homosexuality was the major reason Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, but not the sole reason. When you get home, if you have a look at the next chapter, chapter 19, and just read the account of what Lot and his daughters went through, and then compare it with Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. Now, Ezekiel here is speaking to Jerusalem. "Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them as you have seen." So that's Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 to 50. These two cities were steeped in sin. It wasn't only sexual immorality and perversion that God judged. Sodom and Gomorrah were also arrogant, greedy regarding food, and unconcerned for the welfare of others. But it was the detestable things that caused the Lord to finally move against these places. Now, I don't want to be political on what I'm about to say, so please don't take me wrong. I'm simply stating God's words here in verse 18. And as I always say to people, if you don't like it, take it up with God. But this is verse 18. "Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him." Now, if anything is true, surely that statement from God is. How we have been blessed through that one man is beyond compare. The world has benefited no end from Abraham's descendants, Israel and the Jewish people. So just for a minute, just consider these achievements, these recent achievements of the country of Israel. Did you know that Israel is 0.2% of the world's population? It's been awarded 22% of the world's Nobel Prizes in medicine, chemistry, economics, physics, and literature. In medical research, Israel has developed a biological pacemaker, a DNA nanocomputer, that's a really small computer, which detects cancer cells, then releases combating drugs. It's developed stem cell technology to regenerate heart tissue. A tiny, tiny pill camera which examines the small intestine. And the first fully computerized diagnostic instrument for breast cancer detection. But what about pharmaceutical research? They've led the field in the treatment of multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's disease. For those of us here that are keen on the environment, Israel was the only country in the world to have more trees at the start of the 21st century than at the start of the 20th century. But what about the humanitarian aspect of Israel? Israel is so very often the first country on the scene when a natural disaster has struck. We must remember God's words to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now this next verse, verse 19, truly shows us the sovereignty of God in who he chooses to do his will. God chose Abraham. The King James Bible says God knew Abraham, but it means the same thing. This is verse 19. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Abraham was chosen by God to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Righteousness and justice is key to doing the Lord's will. Verses 20 and 21. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin is so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. Now the language that's used here is similar to what God said to Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. It's poetic license. The cries of the victims of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah had reached the ears of God himself. Justice had to follow. But Abraham knows that his nephew Lot lives in Sodom. So as the two angels turn towards Sodom, Abraham starts his intercession with God. He doesn't want Sodom destroyed. Is the Lord making the right decision? Can Abraham change his mind? Verses 22 to 25. The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked. treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? You know, I can just hear Abraham appealing to God twice. Far be it from you. Far be it from you. And there's the question. It's the question we have to ask ourselves when we just can't find an answer to some of life's mysteries. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Let's just remind ourselves of some of God's attributes. He's infinite. Which means he's self-existing without origin. He's immutable. He never changes. He's self-sufficient, which means he has no needs. Omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Omnipresent. He is always everywhere. He is wise. He has perfect, unchanging wisdom. He is faithful, always true. He is good, full of goodwill. God is merciful. He's compassionate and kind. Gracious. He is inclined to spare the guilty. He is loving. He showed his love for us by sending his Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world to take the punishment that we deserve. He is holy. He is worthy of our complete devotion because of his goodness and righteousness. He is glorious. He is infinitely beautiful and great. But finally, he is just. He is just. He is right and perfect in all he does. So how, with that list of attributes, how can we question whether God will do right? How can we question it? As I've said, one of those attributes is how God is just. He is right and perfect in all he does. So will God do away with Sodom and the other cities of the plain? Verses 26 to 32. The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? If I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again he spoke to him. What if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. So Abraham starts by asking God if he would sweep away the righteous with the wicked. You can sense here Abraham's humility and reverence as he comes before God. He is speaking with God Almighty,
not God Almighty. He obviously has concerns for his nephew Lot, who lives in Sodom with his family. So the countdown begins. First, the Lord says he will not destroy Sodom if 50 righteous people are found there. But as Abraham has already approached the Lord, he is emboldened and asks, what if 45 are found there? Then 40, 30, 20, 10. In every case, the Lord says he will not destroy the city. Now maybe Abraham stopped there at 10 because that was the number in Lot's family. But if you read chapter 19 of Genesis, you'll read that only Lot and his two daughters survived the day. Six of his family were part of the problem in that city. Now Lot's wife did escape Sodom, but disobeyed God by looking back at the city, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. So Lot and his daughters went on to find refuge in the city of Zoar, one of the five cities that was due to be destroyed. God spared that place because of Lot. God's judgment was then carried out. Sulphur was poured from heaven onto Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim. The judge of all the earth did what was right. And remember in verse 25 that Abraham acknowledged that God is the judge of all the earth, not just the God of Israel. With today's attitudes in the world, it might be difficult to grasp that God would do such a thing. But the world is in a downward spiral of moral decline. I'm sure you would agree. And sadly, that attitude has invaded the church to the point that the Bible, in some places, is treated no more than a fairy tale. Not to be taken seriously, or worse still, not even read. In the run-up to the 2017 general election, I was told personally by one of the candidates that Christians today need to update the Bible and make it relevant to today's world. Really? Unbelief runs rampant through the church today, and its leaders will have to give an account before God of why they have led thousands away from Christ to follow the false gods of this age. But they're not bothered, because they do not understand or even believe that God will one day judge them more than the people they are leading. And then we come to the last verse, verse 33. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left. And Abraham returned home. We can only wonder and imagine what Abraham was thinking as he and the Lord parted company. Did he think Sodom would be spared? We don't know. But that very evening, around 6 hours after the Lord and the two angels appeared to him, God's wrath was poured out on the cities of the plain. That is recorded in Genesis 19, verse 29. This calamity is also recorded in Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verse 23, where the four cities that the Lord destroyed are listed. Now, the city of Sodom, by name, is used as a warning in Deuteronomy, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Amos, Zephaniah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, 2 Peter, Jude and Revelation. And it's mentioned a total of 48 times. The city of Sodom and what it represented. So to bring this to a conclusion, what can we learn about God's justice from this account in Genesis? To sum up, firstly, God does not want to bring judgment on any person or city. Secondly, Abraham was one man pleading with God. Don't think that your prayers as an individual go unheard. We need to pray for others in submission to the will of God. Thirdly, just as Abraham approached the Lord with reverence and humility, we are to do the same. And fourthly, each time Abraham asked God a question, he did it with a full understanding that God is a God of justice. And one thing we must do as believers is to reflect God's justice. He is perfect in everything he does. Are we? We are his children, after all. Sometimes we feel there are many injustices in life, but the only satisfying answer is a question, and one that we must hold dear. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen.